Hebrews chapter 3.
Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
3 verses 1 through 6, and I'm in the New King James Version. He says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house," capital H. "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." I don't know about y'all, but I love things that are faithful. I love things that are faithful. When we get in our cars in the morning, I like the fact that they crank. I like a car to crank, or a lawnmower. I mean, have you ever gone out there in the summertime and remember the old hand crank lawnmowers when we used to push them before we had all these zero turns and everything else that we have today? Or you get your weed eater, it's not real faithful. Weed eaters have this little bitty gas line in them if you've got a gasoline weed eater. And that little bitty gas line, that thing will rot out and break off inside the gas tank so that you're not sucking any gas up out of that tank. You're just getting air. So you pull and pull and pull and pull. You take it and you spend all the money in the world getting it fixed. And they tell you, "Oh, it was real easy. We just had to fish this new little gas line down in there." We love things that are faithful. We like a refrigerator that works. We like Wi-Fi that works. The beat of our heart. Aren't you glad that your heartbeat is faithful? What if your heart decided to take a break for a couple of days? Well, that wouldn't be good. We depend on the faithfulness of a heartbeat. We like the faithfulness of our family to the Lord. One of the things I pray for with my kids is, "God, keep them faithful to you. Keep my kids faithful to you." We long for faithfulness. Have any of you ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Yellowstone National Park. What's that? There it is. It's on the screen. See that big water leak? Now, it's not really a water leak. That's Old Faithful. That's what they call it. Old Faithful is one of the geysers there at Yellowstone. And back in September the 18th of 1870, members of the Washburn-Langford-Doane Expedition had traveled down the Firehole River from the Kepler Cascades, and when they entered the upper geyser basin, that's what they saw. They got up there and they wrote about it. In 1871, they wrote an account of what it was like to discover that geyser that was so faithful. Ever so many minutes, that thing will go off, about every 44 minutes or so, and it'll last sometimes from 1.5 to 5 minutes. But they called it Old Faithful. "It spouts at regular intervals 9 times during our stay." That's what they said. "The columns of boiling water being thrown from 90 to 125 feet. I've heard that its average is about 140 feet. This is what they recorded back in the 1800s. By the way, 240 degree water. They ran a temperature thing down in the conduit to go deep into the basin as 265 degrees. That's pretty hot. And so they gave it the name Old Faithful. But what I love about it is as they surveyed out the park and began to use the park around 1882 or so, people started using it for a wash machine. And when it wasn't spouting, they would drop all their clothes down in it. And those clothes would get boiled. It was a top loader. And those clothes would get boiled. And then when that thing would go off, it'd shoot all their clothes back up and throw them all over the ground. They'd go out there and gather them up. The only thing is they learned that if you threw anything that was wool in there, it'd rip it to shreds. But if it was 100% cotton, you were in good shape. It was a steam cleaner. And so we are thankful for things that are faithful. So that's why the title of the message is Jesus is Faithful. Because he's telling us this in Hebrews chapter 3 in light of everything we studied in Hebrews chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2. His goal is that we will understand it's don't give up on the Lord Jesus. Back in context, before we get into the outline, is you got to remember these Jews were believers. They had been converted to Jesus Christ, or they had put their faith in Jesus Christ. They now had a new nature. They now had the Holy Spirit living within them, telling them that you're children of God, telling them that you're different, and they knew they were different. The problem was, and we learn this later in Hebrews, is they weren't growing in Christ. They should have been teachers by now, but the Bible said they were still on milk. They weren't feeding the new nature. They weren't considering Jesus. They weren't focusing on Jesus. They weren't looking at all of these Old Testament things, how they focused on Christ and the fulfillment that would be in Christ. That's why when you read the book of Hebrews, you have the law and you have all these ceremonies and you have all these priestly offices in the background, and then you see Jesus superimposed into it, showing that Jesus fulfilled all of those things. So these believers, some of them, they hadn't gone to bloodshed yet. They're not losing their lives yet. But some of them had lost properties and homes. Some of them had lost jobs because these were Jews. These were Jews that used to go to the synagogue every week. These were Jews that used to have recognition. They used to have reputation in the community. But when Christ got a hold of their heart and showed them that he was the fulfillment of everything they had learned, and they gave their heart to Jesus, suddenly they're kicked out of the synagogues. Suddenly nobody wants to hire them if they worked for another Jew. And so they're experiencing persecution. So the Jews are coming to them, those of Judaism, and they're saying, here's the deal. Come back to us. Come back to Judaism, and we'll let you practice a few things in Christ, but not a whole lot of things. But come back to Judaism, and we'll welcome you back. But they had a problem. There was a paradox. There was something inside of them that kept driving them forward. Let me tell you, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart this morning, there is something inside of you that keeps driving you forward in the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's that nature that you've received. Now look at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. The first thing we're going to see, and it's on your outline, you can trust Jesus. You were saved because of his heavenly calling. That's more than just calling you to put your faith in Jesus. He says, therefore, holy brethren. Right off the bat, Jesus is calling us holy brethren. Now, why are we holy? We're holy brethren not because we're perfect. We're holy brethren because he is perfect. You see, Jesus identified with us, and we now have his perfection through redemption. And so the Bible is clear on that. And so he can now call us holy brethren because he sees us in his Son, Jesus. So he says, therefore, holy brethren. He says, I want you to understand something of who you are. You belong to a family. We saw that last week in chapter 2. You belong to a family. You're considered holy in Christ, not in yourself. You'll never be perfect until you get to heaven. So, holy brethren, you're partakers of a heavenly calling. Now, that calling is twofold. The heavenly calling is, first, the Father has to draw us. He has to woo us to the Son so that we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So the Father is calling everybody's name. He's not skipping anybody. In fact, Jesus says, and you can see it in the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 10, he says that he has come to seek, I love that word, and to save that which is lost. He came to seek. He is seeking out. Look at your own life, how he has sought you. You say, well, you know, my life has been pretty crazy. Well, there's a reason you're sitting in here today. It's because Jesus has sought you out. It's because God loves you. And he says, you know what? I can find you wherever you are. Here's what he does. Jesus is the one who calls us. But it's more than that. That heavenly calling you have, the Bible says you're already seated in the heavenly places. In that heavenly calling, he is asking you to join him in his kingdom work. Think about that. In that heavenly calling, he's saying, I'm calling you outside of something in this world. You're still in this world, But you're not going to be of this world because I've called you out of this world so that you can participate in what I am doing as I bring this world to a conclusion. You can participate in prayer for others. You can participate in evangelism and reaching others for Christ. You can be an ambassador of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can do all of these things, but you've got to accept the calling, the heavenly calling, join up with that calling, participate in that calling, and then live for that calling. And when you do that, you're going to understand that you have a Savior that is faithful. Think about that. Now, remember, and I want to move quick here, remember John the Baptist in John chapter 3. John the Baptist is looking at Jesus. He's been baptizing people, and he says, remember in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That's going to tie in here in just a second. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, you've got to look to the increase, just as John the Baptist did. You've got to look to the Lord Jesus, and you've got to consider Him and focus on Him. I love John 6:44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Those that the Father sends to me, I'm going to raise them up on the last day. I love Psalms chapter 51, verse 12. Listen to what David says. Now, don't miss this, because it's important to understand how our heavenly calling works. He says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I have the New King James. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. King David is saying, you are the Savior. You are the Redeemer. I'm not responsible for my salvation. You had to convict me of my sins. You had to open my eyes to the truth. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." The saving well is a heaven-made well. It never runs dry. It always quenches the thirst and it refreshes the soul. Why is that important? These Jews had lost their joy. These Christians had lost their joy. They needed to understand their heavenly calling. They needed to look at Jesus and understand how great He was and really reflect on what salvation means. That leads us to our second point. You find inner joy and strength as you consider Christ. So what are we to consider? Well, the Bible tells us. Look at verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider." You ought to underline that word. It's not like consider with a passing look. Okay? It means to look at something intently, to study it out. He's saying, study out. Focus on this. Now watch it. What are we supposed to meditate on? Number one, the apostle. And number two, and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. We know that Christ is the anointed one. This is in the context of His priestly office. But when you see the apostle, you say, is Jesus an apostle? Well, of course He is. Jesus is the top-notch apostle. You say, well, what is an apostle? An apostle is one who has been commissioned or sent of God. Jesus was sent, John 3:17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved." He was sent from heaven. He was commissioned with a message. Now, there's three things you can write down in your notes right here about the kind of apostle that He is, that Jesus is. Listen, He is a divine messenger. He's different from any other apostle. He came from heaven. He's the divine messenger that took upon flesh at the incarnation. He is the merciful messenger. We could look at example after example in the Bible of His mercy. But I love the last one. He's the voluntary messenger. But as the divine messenger, you can write down John chapter 4, verse, I believe that's verse 37. John chapter 5, verse 23. As our voluntary messenger, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 9. And as our merciful messenger, Luke 19, verse 10. I just quoted that verse a few minutes ago. Now, we needed a word from God and a way to God. That's what we need as humanity. We need a word from God. That's our apostle. Jesus, our apostle. He came in his bodily form. He was the word that became flesh. And when he was on this earth, he brought a word from God that we needed. He told us about the kingdom. He told us how to be saved. He gave us all these principles in the scripture. But we needed more than that. We needed not only a word from God, and we get it in Jesus, we need a way to God. That's the second word in your verse, high priest. We get the way to God at the cross and his resurrection. That's where our high priest gave of himself to be the sacrifice. So he was the sacrifice as well as our high priest. Now, I love that because as our high priest, he did three things that the high priest did in the Old Testament. Number one, he gave us atonement. He gave us atonement for sin, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. He blessed the people. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we have all these spiritual blessings. The Old Testament, that blessing is in Numbers chapter 6. Verses 23 through 27, somewhere along in there. I love that verse. I've prayed it over my kids, and it's a powerful verse. Jesus is the fulfillment of Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 27. He is the fulfillment. So we have atonement in him. We have blessing in Jesus. And then we have intercession in Jesus as well. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle," in the rest of our text. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Verse 24, same chapter. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." That's our advocate. You and I have a lawyer in heaven. As believers, you have a really good lawyer, and he is in heaven. And he is standing in the gap for you. Every time you sin, he stands in the gap. He reminds the Lord of the blood that was shed for you. He reminds the Lord, the Father, of the blood, the cost of that blood, the atonement of that blood, the covering of that blood. You may forget about the blood, but Jesus Christ will never forget about the blood. He always remembers the covenant he made with his people. Now, that's important. And then you go on down to verse 14, chapter 10. "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." It's good stuff. So he's saying you need to consider these things. You need to consider that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your faith. Then we have the third thing, and that is this. You belong to the builder. You are his creation, his house. You belong to the builder. You are his creation, his house. Now, look at verse 2, and let's read through verse 5. He says, "Who was faithful to him who appointed him." Do you see that? "Who was faithful to him who appointed him." That's God the Father, God the Son. And now he's going to compare Moses, because remember, these Jews are being tempted to come back into Judaism, and they're being told how great Moses is. "Well, y'all have turned away from Moses. Y'all are no longer following Moses." No, because they're following Christ, they're actually listening to what Moses had to say. They're actually doing the right thing. They're not saying, "Moses, I'm sorry." They're saying, "Moses, thank you for tutoring us into the faith. Thank you for helping us to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that fulfillment." And Numbers chapter 12, I don't have time to go into it, but make a note of Numbers chapter 12, and when you get time, go read that and read about Moses. And there was a time Miriam and Aaron got upset with who Moses married, and because of that, the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, came up to the front steps of the tabernacle and says, "You three, out here now." And here they come, and along comes Moses. And the Lord says, when I speak to other prophets, I speak to them in dreams and visions. But when I speak to Moses, I speak to his face. In other words, he was saying to Miriam and Aaron, why are y'all talking about Moses this way? Because what they had said is, doesn't God speak to us too? Wow. Dangerous thing to do. It cost Miriam ended up with some leprosy because of that. It took her 7 days to get over it. But because of the Lord's grace and Moses' prayer, she got over it. God had good things to say about Moses. He said he was the most humble man. Moses was. The most humble man. It's right there in Numbers chapter 12. He says, who was faithful to him, who appointed him as Moses. Now watch this. He says, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Capital H. Moses was faithful in the work that God put before him to do. Okay? Now verse 3. For this one, talking about Jesus, verse 3, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why? Well, you can think of a lot of reasons. Number one, he was born of a virgin. Moses wasn't. Jesus was born of a virgin. Number two, when Jesus was baptized, if you remember, there was a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Number three, when Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration, he was completely glorified in his Shekinah glory, and it shone out of him. Moses just had a shiny face. Jesus was glory. See the difference? There's more glory in Jesus than there was in Moses. Inasmuch as he who built the house, watch this, has more honor than the house. The word right here is for furnishing. The one who furnishes the house has more honor than the house. The architect, the decorator, the furnisher, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Now watch this. Y'all remember that song a long time ago? It used to be on KVNE a lot. In my father's house? Is that how it went? In my father's house, he's got a big, big yard. Got a this, this, this. Got a that, that, that. In my father's house. Y'all remember that? What is it? Oh, yeah, there's football in my father's house. The picture was that in my father's house, there's room. Come join the family. Come to the Father. Now, watch this. You say, what is Jesus' house like? Moses' house was whatever was entrusted to him by the Father, by the Lord. Jesus' house includes all the universes. It includes all the galaxies. It includes all the stars, all the world, all the seas, everything. The house of Jesus is all of creation. And he says, I am inviting you. I am the builder of that house. And I am inviting you to the way it was before the fall with Adam and Eve to come and enter into my house. And one day, let me tell you what we're going to get to do. I can't wait for this. We're going to get to go traveling. One day when we go to heaven, we're going to get to travel. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. If he's going to say, all right, group number 5, we got about a trillion years for y'all's group to go do a tour of the galaxies. I don't know if I didn't read this in the Bible. This is just part of the hope that's within me. We're going to get to travel. You'll never get fat. There's chocolate cake out the kazoo. We're going to go look at all the cosmos, all the galaxies. We're going to go to Saturn and Jupiter and Nupiter and Stupiter. We're going to go to all of them. I don't know if those are all planets or not. But he's saying it's going to be so awesome. He's saying because he is the builder and you are being created to join him in his creation. Right now we can't do that. I can't go to the sun. Neither can you. It's hot up there. But there's going to be a day we can see the sun. He says there's not even going to be a need for it because he's going to be the light. It's just incredible. And so that leads us to two scriptures I want you to see on the screen about the creator of the house. Because the word for house is tabernacle. And remember, his glory dwelt at the tabernacle. When you get saved, here's where we are. He now tabernacles with us. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Think about that. Your body is a structure as a believer by which the Holy Spirit can indwell. He says, and you have that from God. And you are not your own. That means you don't even belong to yourself. For you were bought at a price. That's that blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Or you could say it like this. Therefore, glorify God in your temple and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, what's that next verse? Or do I have another one after that? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Now, you know what the devil in the flesh tells us? And I'm almost done, but I want you to get this. Do you know what the devil in the flesh tells us, especially in our culture today? He says, give in to bodily appetites. Our culture is teaching that big time today. Give in to your bodily appetites. You want to be gay? Just be gay. If you're a man and you want to be a woman, well, if you think you're a woman, be a woman. If you're a woman and you want to be a man, you think you're a man or a woman, whatever it is, be whatever you want to be. Just give in to your bodily appetites. And if somebody says that's not right or that's not good, they're just a hate monger and they're intolerant. Oh, that's not the truth. That's immorality. Give in to your bodily appetites. I'll tell you what God says. God says, I'm creator of the house. I own all this stuff. I own everything. I call the shots for what is sin and what is not. I call the shots on who gets to heaven and how they get to heaven. I call the shots on what sacrifice will be accepted on your behalf. I call the shots on how your body is to be used. I called the shot. Whenever I made you a man or a woman. And he's saying, if you give in to the culture, you'll give in to the bodily appetites. You give in to the Lord Jesus, you'll yet let your body be a living sacrifice to bring him glory. And that's what the church has got to do today, is let the world see that we use our bodies as temples, as living sacrifices presented before the Lord to show off that Jesus Christ is real. And so these Jewish Hebrews, these new believers, they're starting to focus now that he is their apostle. They're focusing now that he is their high priest. They're realizing he has more glory than Moses. They're realizing his house is a real big house and that they've been included in it. See how their faith is growing? And they get to verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be, that's future, which would be spoken afterward. That's what we have today. And then verse 6, and that's your last point on the outline, those who are saved cannot help but reveal it. It's a part of your new nature. Those who are saved cannot help but reveal it. I tell you, it's like, take a tea kettle. Remember when we used to use them? When we were kids, we used tea kettle, and it had a little hole in the lid, and the lid would go to flopping during the, when the steam's trying to come out, and it'd start whistling. Mama, the tea kettle, or whatever we called it, it's boiling. That tells you it's time to go in there and turn the fire off. Okay, that's what we are. You have the heat of the Holy Spirit under you, even if you're a brand new Christian. And the heat of the Holy Spirit is driving you to serve the Lord, even if you don't understand it. And he says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now, he's not saying right here you can lose your salvation. He's saying here, if you want to look at yourself, if you go back to Judaism and you walk away from the Lord and you go back to living your old life and you never even consider the Lord anymore, I got a problem on what your pot is sitting on. Your pot needs to be sitting on the stove where the heat is being created. He's saying then if there's the proof of your salvation, the confidence that you're going to hold fast, the hope that is within you is produced by the Holy Spirit, and if you can just look at me and not care about the things of God and not care about the church and not care about the things of Christ and what he did for you, I have a problem that you can hold fast and endure till the end, because something ain't going on inside of you that I have put in you in that house. So he's saying, whose house we are, here's how you identify it. If we are of his house, here's what it looks like. We'll hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. We need to make sure that our tea kettle pot is setting on the right source. Because if our foundation is anything other than Jesus Christ, we can't make it. We can't make it to heaven, and we can't make it in life.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.